Well, good evening, everybody. Hey, thank you. Well, welcome to this special evening as our team from Maui was going to give an update. We're going to share with you what the Lord has done on this truly remarkable trip. I think all of us could be up here and talk for hours of the great things that we have experienced. Well, some are nodding their heads saying, no, not for hours. But there's a lot of great things that the Lord has done to this, through us and to us, and when we were there, that I'm sure this one evening won't do it justice, but I do pray that what will be covered will be encouraging to all of us, those watching online as well, and maybe inspire some of you to volunteer for one of the next mission trips we're going to be having that are coming up. We're going to have a video that's going to play any moment now that summarizes in about 4 minutes a full week of different things that have happened. So, you know, it's just a summary. Can't capture it all, but enjoy it.
Okay, well, a little technical difficulty like that never happens on a mission trip, right? Hopefully we'll be able to see that in its entirety soon. I wanted to share just a little scripture to get started out of Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, and Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne," excuse me, "then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" This is really the reason why we go. But I've got to be honest, when I heard that we had an opportunity to go to Maui on a mission trip, I wasn't sure that Maui and missions went together. I think of a mission trip in some third world country and people starving as a regular way of life. I didn't think of that scenario within the borders of our country. Now, I had heard of the fires back in the summertime, but honestly, that was long out of the news and out of my mind. So I was like, okay, if this is what the Lord has, we're going to go. We're going to check it out. So my first slide here is what I kind of expected. It's Maui. It's beautiful. Climbed up to 10,000 feet. Okay. We drove to 9,800 feet and then climbed 200. Had a wonderful view of an amazing sunset. We had the opportunity right when we got there because of our timing and a men's retreat that we had kind of a free day up front to do a little exploring. So we did that, and we capped off the day with this, and it was completely amazing. Next slide. But then we got down to the hard work. And this is kind of what I expected, right? I enjoy working with my hands, and so this was good. We had something to do. It was solid. It was substantial. I could quantify it, and we got a ton of stuff done. We really did. We were able to do, I think, much more than they anticipated in the time that we had, especially with the size of the team that we had. These guys were amazing. So we got a lot of good stuff done, and that was wonderful. And the schedule was, we came in on Monday morning. We began to put orders together for pickups in the afternoon and then for delivery starting the next day. And so this was the hard, sweaty part, but really it was the easy part. Because then in the afternoon, people began to come and pick up their orders. And my prayer to this point really had been, Lord, help me to see the people. We know the stuff is gone, but help me to see the people. But I don't know that I fully expected to see what I saw. Next slide. So as the people started to come and they began to share their stories, they began to share, of course, the expected part, I lost my home. But there was so much more, because it wasn't just their home, it was their place of business. It was where their kids went to school. It was their whole life, as they knew it, was gone in an instant. And not everybody really wanted to share. They were probably tired of sharing. I'm sure they've shared time and time and time again. But the ones that did, there was really a great connection to the heart, the things that they were going through. And I began to realize the trauma that they were still enduring 9 months later. This is 9 months past. The trauma that they were still enduring, as well as how long of a path they had ahead of them for recovery. And it wasn't just the physical needs, although they were needed, but as people are bounced around in temporary housing from hotel to hotel and crammed into homes, we saw homes with multiple families living in a very small space, the physical needs needed to be met and still need to be met, but it's the emotional side that really began to hit me. And then, next slide, there was a memorial as you enter the Lahaina area on the bypass. You still can't drive through the town, but memorial along the fence there, along the highway, with pictures and crosses and flowers. And we got an opportunity, Pastor Dan and I did, to actually walk down and take some time and look at all of these people. This sign here, there's 101 names on here of all the people that perished in that fire. And as we looked at the sign, as we walked down the fence line and saw the pictures of the people, it really began to sink in how devastating this was. But amidst all of this, we actually had several conversations with different people who reminded us that even though the stuff was gone, the community remained. We saw sign after sign, some in spray paint, you know, some on cardboard boxes, different places, Lahaina strong, Lahaina strong. The community is intact. And that is a huge encouragement and a huge blessing. But they certainly still need our prayers because they have a long road of healing ahead of them, for sure. So I'm blessed to have had the opportunity to be a part of this team. I'm blessed with those that I was able to serve with. I was kind of the alternate. You know, I was like, well, I'm available to go if you need me. And then five ladies signed up. It's like, okay, Dan, you're not going alone. God is amazing. And he allowed me to be a part of that. And so I'm very grateful. So thank you.
Hello. My name's Alyssa. I'm Pastor Mike's daughter, and I got the opportunity to go on this Maui trip. This is my second mission trip. I was blessed to go to Mexico with Pastor David in 2019, so this was definitely different than what I had been to before. And to be totally honest, I don't remember the slides I picked out, so we're going to go through it together. That first day we were there, we were able to drive around quite a lot. And this is a beach just outside of Lahaina where we got the opportunity to meet a man named Ray and his friend Chris. Ray had lost his house in the fire, and we had the opportunity to minister to and pray with him, which was really a blessing. Very sweet man, and his friend Chris, we were talking to them. We're like, what's it like to have lost everything? Everything. And someone said, yeah, you even lost your community. And Chris goes, no, community's still there. Everything is still there. No matter where you go, that community is all over the island. And like Pastor Mike said, it was everywhere. And that was really, really cool to be able to share with him. My next slide, I think, yep, this was the wonderful 10,000-foot hike we did. that's, you know, why we're all so buff, obviously. But this was actually the other side. So the side we watched the sunset on was facing the ocean and everything, and then this was kind of on the backside, and I don't know. I thought that was really cool. I was climbing up. I was taking pictures like a crazy person, and I was like, God's my favorite artist. I don't know about you guys, but he's pretty cool. I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. Makes me want to go swimming in the clouds. And then, so this was at the warehouse. This was on Tuesday when we started making deliveries around the island. This is Larry. He is the head pastor's wife's dad. So, very sweet old man. I made that more complicated than I needed to. But he had a truck and a trailer, and we were able to load everything up and take a lot of deliveries out around the island. So that first day, we were headed to Lahaina, and let me tell you, that island was not made for trucks and trailers. Trying to turn around and back out, Kat's nodding yes, she was there, it was chaos. And we found out, too, that if the Hawaiian locals know you're not a tourist, they're not nice to you. So there is that, keep that in mind. But Larry was absolutely amazing. Hilarious man. Someone mentioned that I'm recently married, and he goes, oh, me too, I'm newly married. And we're like, oh, how long you been married? He's like, 44 years. And we're like, okay, Larry. But so deliveries was an amazing, like, eye-opening opportunity for me. The very first lady that we delivered to, we had to carry a couch up 3 flights of stairs to get to her, and she came running to the front door. She had run from work because she didn't have a car. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I just started work today. She had only just gotten a job since the fire that day. And she had only just started that day. And they were gracious enough to let her run home and meet us. But she was saying that she personally lost 9 coworkers in the fire. And her husband and son, the only reason they weren't caught in it was because he was like, well, maybe let's just go for a drive and make sure we don't get stuck in this just in case. They thought they were going to be able to go back. But they didn't. And she's just now getting work, and they only have housing through the end of August. So she has no idea where they're going. They don't know where they're going. But that was just a little bit of kind of the stories we heard. And then this is driving out of Lahaina. You saw that photo in the video, but that is a street sign that has been melted. The letters are falling off. You can't see it in the photo, but there's a ton of trees right in front of it that are just black. You can't see a lot of the fire damage because there's a big fence up, but that was one you could see, and just the little things you don't even think about being affected by fire. But yeah. So that was all I had to share, but it was a pretty eye-opening experience for me anyways. I think you're next.
set a timer because I tend to talk too much, so. Okay. So before we do my slides, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That played into the whole trip, and you'll see with the slides. I'm 62. I've never been on a missions trip. I didn't particularly want to go, even though Maui's cool. I felt like the Lord was nudging me to fill out the paperwork. Okay, well, they won't want me because, you know, I'm not young and strong like y'all are down there, but so I did. And from there, all of a sudden there was, and I didn't have the money for it, and all of a sudden there was a sponsor, and they said, yes, we want you to go, and deer in the headlights look. And then, so I went. I just did it. I came alongside and, you know, do what you can do kind of a thing, not having any idea what to expect. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me took on a whole nother level. It was, you know, 8 to 9 hours a day of physical labor, which I have, you know, a little sample girl Costco job. It's not strenuous, so this was way out of my comfort zone on physically, mentally, emotionally level, and he did it. So if any of you ever contemplate and are a little nervous, he'll do it. We had 4 days of no shower to start off with, way out of my comfort zone, even just that. But it was okay. We all clicked together. Nobody fought. And we've got, you know, 5 women with all very different personalities. So based on that and with that premise, let's do the first slide. So that, yeah, that's me, selfie, right? But that was the sunset on top of the volcano. It was amazing. It looked like you could just walk right out to the clouds. It looked like, yeah, Christ is going to come right that minute. He didn't, but it might kind of look like that. Okay, next slide. So these were our luxury showers that we were unbelievably grateful for because sweat mixed with dust makes mud. Yeah, so that was us every day. And it's 80 degrees, you know, 78 to 80 degrees with 80% humidity. We were just, yeah. So when we got to these showers and turned them on, first of all, I never actually turned the water on. I kept forgetting. So I'm standing in there going, help, help somebody. It's a hose hooked up to where that comes out. And Maui cold water is not the same as Montana cold water. Thank you, Lord. But it was that cold right before it turns warm. So it was like, ah, oh. It just, we looked so forward to those showers at the end of the day. They were, oh, thank you, Lord. And especially when it started to rain, it was like this delicious rain because there's no ceiling, as you see. So it's very tropical. I don't think they'll do that here in Montana, but it was pretty cool. Okay, next slide. So this one, tiny explanation. This is Kallio. Every morning I went over to the coffee shop across the street. I called it little coffee shop ministry and would talk to whoever the Lord had there. I could not remember his name until the last day, but he called me Montana and I called him Maui because it was easier. And he doesn't know the Lord. So I just told him, you know, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Is there anything specific you'd like? You know, and he said, land and money. Okay. So, but the cool thing for me is the gentleman on the right is my stepdad. My mom got married to Bart when I was 1, and he's Chinese, Native American, Indian. So Kallio reminded me, I know not exactly. It's not like they could be brothers, but he reminded me of him. So that was a one of the probably 1,000 warm fuzzies the Lord did for me while there. So I wanted to share. So next slide. And this you already saw a picture of, but the church in Central Maui, the Calvary Chapel Central Maui, is not this. This is the building that they're going to move into and what they call the warehouse. So this is where we did our work. It was a stunning building. It had these ancient-looking doors that were just Oh, good. You had that time. They looked like they were like 500 years old. It was very, I don't know the word for it, but it was just a cool-looking church. Our inside conditions, you know, it's not fixed up yet, but it's an old, old church. So I have these cool beams and just these decorations around, these ceramic kind of on the walls way up high. And our air conditioning was basically the wind with the windows that were propped open and a fan. But boy, you know, when you get next to that fan, you just, oh, could you get too hot? So it was cool. The guys took very good care of us. Thank you for all the heavy lifting. We couldn't do that. And yeah, it was an amazing, it was hard. It was amazing. I am so thankful that the Lord had me go for the little bit that I could do. So thanks whoever sponsored me. Thank you. It was huge. We had another sponsor that did a dinner out for us and my coffee shop thing, little ministry there. So thank you. That's it.
All right, so it was such a privilege to come alongside Calvary Central Maui and just be a part of what the Lord is doing through them. It reminded me a lot of the loaves and fish, how Jesus took something small and he multiplied it to provide for so many people. I think the church there has been able to connect with hundreds of different families, so it's really cool to be a part of that. Let's see. So this was the warehouse that we worked in. We mostly filled orders, which is all in the center. On the left side are supplies that I would be organizing and restocking. And so each order had a list of items that they needed. Some people just wanted food and water. Other people wanted a little bit of everything. So we would meet the people who came for pickups, and we would get to pray for them and hear some of their stories. There's a lot of stress and uncertainty with finances and jobs and housing situations. So, I was also told that people just feel very stretched thin and they're exhausted. They don't really know what to do next. But everyone was very grateful and, like, they've said that the fires did bring the community together and it brought the islands together. So one of our bigger projects was to empty their rented shipping container. These are all boxes of couches. So between Jamie, Colleen, Alyssa, and I, we brought in all of these boxes into the building. I think there's over 30 couches there. Probably about 70 different boxes, so it was a lot of physical labor. We also went through several pallets of clothing. We repacked them in stronger boxes and brought those inside. Just a lot of heavy lifting, physical labor, but it's one less thing that the church has to deal with later. And one of the highlights was watching the sunset from the summit. This is as we were driving up. We went above the clouds. You can't really tell how high we were. Kind of looks like an ocean, just the clouds there. But it was such a blessing. And the whole trip was just full of different blessings from the Lord. I mean, the church was so kind to us. They were so welcoming. We were treated to dinner a couple times. We were treated to dessert. You know, our last pickup was extremely touching, you know, and I was receiving a lot of reminders from the Lord from his word, and that was very encouraging. And it also helped to know that there were people here who care about us and who were praying for us, and I'm really appreciative of that. So I'm really grateful I got to go. So I think that's it.
I didn't write anything, so I'm Kat, or Catherine. People call me Kat. I'm just really thankful that I got to go. I was also sponsored, and I never expected to go to Maui. But when God puts something in front of you and he wants you to do something, I quickly realized he'll make that happen, and you can't say no. So I'm really blessed that I got to go. If you can show the first slide. So Alyssa was talking about this photo. This is the first delivery we did with the couch. And that was quite the chore. A lot of running up and down the stairs, and she kind of stole part of my story, but I thought this was neat that I had gone down and come back up and saw her praying, and I wanted to capture that. So I didn't get to hear all the story that she shared, but it was just really neat to see someone less than half my age that I really admired and got to know. She's just really special to me. All of you guys, I didn't know I was going to get emotional. I just got close to everybody and got to know them, and I really liked seeing her pray with this woman. I have a hard time praying with people out loud, and she was really inspiring to me to do that more throughout the trip, and this is just the very first day, so thank you for that. This is Wednesday. We had like a potluck, but they had a church prayer. I'm not sure what. Barbecue prayer. I have never done anything like this. It was really cool to be outside. The weather was just beautiful and perfect after a hard day's work. And basically, people just put out prayer requests, and they just prayed and prayed. I've never sat and listened to prayer for so long, ever. I've never had that experience, so it was pretty neat to have that there and just to hear people pray for each other for, like, I don't know, at least 45 minutes. It was quite a long time, but I thought maybe it'd be cool if we did that here sometime. I don't know. It was really special. And that's the church that we stayed at. This is the very end, I think. We just did a group picture, and doesn't look super special, but I was thinking about when we first left. I think you showed a picture. It was on the slide of us at the airport. And I was thinking about how we really didn't, maybe you guys, the pastors know each other, but not everybody else really knew each other. And I didn't know what to expect on this trip. And by the end of the trip, I just felt so loved. And really grateful to get to know each other and become closer family. So I wanted to share that picture. And I know you've seen this one several times, but that room did change a lot throughout the trip. It would empty out and fill back up. And while I was out doing a lot of deliveries, the people that stayed behind worked so hard to keep it looking so neat and tidy and full, and being there for people to pick up their orders. And when we left, that's everything basically moved inside, organized, clean, ready for whatever the last step is to get rid of everything, because they do want to move into that church, hopefully sooner than later. And I just thought it was a really neat end. And it's just kind of crazy to think of how much it changed throughout the week, but it was pretty awesome. So I think that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, so you saw this. This is the church. This is our warehouse where it all happened. But when I look at that picture, it made me think of the church body, and that this church here is, it protects from the outside elements, and it is a place for safety. And I thought, as a church body and as a church family, we should do the same thing, protect each other and
just provide safety and nourishment and be a support system when you are weary and burdened. Go ahead. This was like two driveways down from our warehouse, and that was just a cool sign. It reminded me that we all need a shepherd, and that again, just come back to taking care of each other as a family. But I also looked this up, and there's a Feed My Sheep Maui, which does food distribution throughout the island when you need food, and I thought that was very cool. Next. This one was our last pickup. This little girl, we had run out of toys, which was a common request for the kids. And while I was cleaning out the attic upstairs, I found a brand new kid's little kitchen, a kitchen set with a chef set, so you would have dishes and food and everything. And we gave it to this little girl, which is kind of cool that we got to see her receive it. And she was so excited. She's like, is this for me? And then her auntie and her, we were going to pray for them, but they surprised us and prayed for us. And I thought that was a real beautiful ending to the trip. Is there another one? Okay, so the mural. There were murals painted all over the town, all over buildings, fences, all over. And it just reminded me that the community is strong, that their culture remains, even though the building is gone. I'm sure that they will rebuild, as we tend to do when we lose things that mean much to us. Is there another one? That's it. Okay, well, I have one that didn't make it on there, and you're not going to be able to see it very well, but I'm going to attempt it anyway. So, can you see it? Can you see it? So there's just people standing up on the rocks taking pictures of the sunset. And I know you can't see that very well, but I would love to show it to you. And that just reminded me that we're all chosen. We were all chosen to be at that viewing at that time. We were all chosen for this trip. Those people lost in the fires, those homes that were lost, everybody was chosen for those circumstances, and that God makes no mistakes, and that it was just a blessing to be a part of all that. Okay, that's all.
Oh, everybody was pretty quick in sharing. I was not expecting that. So, but thank you, guys. First and foremost, I want to say this team gave not just 100%, but 110%. Without exaggeration, they went above and beyond what was asked of them, and they gave it all to the extent that we had to say to some of them, slow down, you need to take a break, because they were truly investing everything into serving the body there and the people who have been affected by the fires. I also have a few photos to share with you. The first one is of Calvary Chapel, Central Maui. And I want you just to pay attention. I tried to get a kind of a wide lens photo of it. So this is pretty much the whole sanctuary. This is that church. They meet twice on Sundays. Their first service was less attended than the second one. But they're not a huge congregation. There's 150,000 or so people living in Maui, and there's a couple of hundred at most people at that church. Yet this, what many will describe as a small body, this small body was providing for over 550 families who have been affected by the fires from the day one. When the fires hit, they started praying and asking God to show them how they can help those who have suffered loss. And very quickly, Lord opened the doors for them. And that was primarily through that warehouse that you have been seeing. That was a building that they were planning to move to for years. And when they got the property and they applied for the permit to use it as a church building, they were told, oh, it's going to be quick. It won't take long. A year passed, and just time took forever, what it seemed like, for them to move in. And they were praying, Lord, why can't we just move into this new building? Then the fires happened. And God showed them why. Because that building now could be used to store all the goods that were sent to them so they could receive it and then give it away. And one of the interesting things is just the way the Lord started providing. Sometimes they were given so many of the items, clothing in particular, that they could not give it away. So they have to come up with clever ways of how to just get rid of some of the things that they would be receiving, because people kept giving and giving and giving. There was even wealthy man from Vegas who sent his 747 to the island with all the goods that could be used for the people they could store in that building. But that was this church. So you may think I'm small or I'm not so mighty, but as was shared earlier, even what you have, if you give it to the Lord, He can multiply it in a way that will just amaze you. And what they're doing is truly on a grand scale compared to many others that are providing help. And there's thankfully others who are serving the community and providing for the needs. But it's just fascinating to see that body like this was faithful to seek the Lord, and then the Lord provided for them what they needed. And they have been faithful for 9 months providing for the people who have lost everything. Next photo, please. So this is Pastor Sean, and next to him is Zach. He's the coordinator for all the teams that have been coming to Maui to help them get situated and everything. Now, I would love that we had Sean's wife, Hannah, there, because that will be the trio that is kind of a brains behind the whole operation. They have been running this for 9 months, coming up with solutions and the ways to serve the people. And Zach, for example, he has 4 jobs, and he's volunteering his time to do this. Pastor Sean is not just pastoring. He has another job that he's doing. And then on top of all of this, him and his wife will go to Costco and buy groceries and things that were needed to give to people. So they were investing a lot of their time and effort into meeting the needs of their community. And again, it's kind of a fascinating just to hear their stories and hear how God just opened doors to them and provide ways for them to minister to so many. But so if you remember, pray for them. We were the last team that is going to do this type of a ministry. So we were the last group that showed up to do the deliveries and set up for the pickups. From this point on, they're going to have a different approach to serving those who still have the needs. But for 9 months, this was their life. And for the first few months, it was them doing their jobs, all the things I've mentioned, and on top of it, doing the warehouse and the deliveries and pickups and the people from the church as well. And eventually, Lord showed to them, you need to invite others. And that's how it started to become a mission trip for many churches from the mainland to go over there and serve for a week. Next one, please. So this was our rental van that had its issues, but it was also a blessing because we could load it up. And Pastor Mike and I had the opportunity to fill it up multiple times and just drive around and do the deliveries to different locations, mostly on the west side of the island where Lahaina is, Kanapali and Apili, which is a little further west from Lahaina. And got lots of time of fellowship and lots of waiting at times. You get to a location and you just wait for a person to show up. And the irony in some of these trips was that many of the people who are displaced have been placed into these fancy hotels or resorts that you will show up and everything looks so beautiful and expensive, and we felt out of place. We really did. And you would think, oh, it'll be a cool place to stay. But then, as Pastor Mike shared, it wasn't. There was one family that we delivered to on our first day of deliveries on Tuesday. Four of them, two young kids, and they were living in a studio that only had the bathroom, no kitchen, no laundry room. And for months, they were in that place. So for them to cook, to wash the laundry, they'll have to go and wait in line to have an opportunity to do that. Imagine losing a home, then having a place that doesn't work that well. And they were maybe one of the families that had it better than others. But, you know, on the outside, everything looks beautiful. It's Hawaii, right? But on the inside, as Pastor Mike shared, there's a lot of brokenness, a lot of hurts, a lot of pain. But there was also a lot of joy among some of them who had lost everything, who are believers and who are still finding hope in God and are trusting Him for provision. Next one, please. So this was that wall. It's just a small sample of it. Memorial wall that they have set up for those who have been lost. I've chosen this one because this one actually has almost photos for every cross that's represented. But as you start walking down this memorial wall, at first when you see the sign that has their names, it just seems a wall, like you go to any memorial, right? See the names of those who have fallen in war or so forth. But it's another thing to start walking down and see the faces of people who have perished in those fires. A lot of them were elderly and children who were caught up in these fires. We were blessed because of deliveries. We had an opportunity to talk to a good number of people. Talking to survivors, one of the things they shared is that when the fires hit, they moved 1 mile per minute. So imagine being caught in a fire and all of a sudden it's moving as faster than you can see. And when the fires happened that day, first of all, it was a stormy weather. Winds were blowing about 60 miles an hour. One of the things we found out, that's a common thing, strong winds in Maui. Most of the days it was windy there. But that day, it was a storm. And usually when they have a storm, we were told, the electric company will shut off power to the areas that are affected. On that day, they didn't. But rather, it stayed on. Now, the protocol at that time is when they have storms, kids are sent home from school so they can find shelter. Well, kids were sent home, and some were by themselves. And then the fire happened, and they had no way of escaping because they were by themselves. Elderly, who could not quickly get out because the fire was moving so fast. And Pastor Mike and I were privileged to go to Lahaina in areas that are not accessible to anyone not living in Lahaina, because we were delivering to people and we were allowed to enter these kind of forbidden areas. And we got to see firsthand, up close, the area specifically that where the fire started. And it was kind of fascinating to see, you know, have this whole field of things burnt up. And then you have one house standing unaffected, or one tree unaffected. And it, all over Lahaina was like that. It was very sobering to see all that. Also not easy. It really wasn't easy to see all that, to process all of that, and to just continue to do what we were called to do for that week. But it was truly an honor to go and help in the way we could help and to pray for people. I mean, we prayed a lot. That was a blessing. Most people were willing to receive prayer, whether they were Christian or not. But again, there was something different when we prayed for Christians. You know, there was extra dose of joy that some of them had. And then there were those who just didn't want to be prayed for. One lady that we delivered to, she was disturbed, obviously, hurting a lot, and she didn't want to be prayed for. And we kind of wondered why, but then later we found out it was the 9-month anniversary of the fires when we dropped things off to her. So obviously, the trauma was still there. So the encouragement is for all of us, media forgot about them. God didn't. And as a body of Christ that has been privileged to serve them, we can continue to serve them through prayer. Next photo, please. Now, this is there, the memorial wall. As you can see, that's somebody's Bible. I don't know if that's the Bible of somebody who died or of the loved one that left it there. People would leave different things as memorabilia of the ones they've lost. So I wouldn't be surprised as someone who went to be with the Lord. But watching all these things, seeing the crosses, and they even had crosses for all the pets that perished in the fires. One of the things that stood out was cross after cross after cross, references to prayer to God everywhere. There was one cross that just had sign, Jesus loves you. And that's the only hope that people who have lost everything, they need Jesus. And this church on Calvary Chapel Central Maui has been providing that hope. They're not the only ones. There's four other Calvaries in Maui. They're all doing different things. And other churches that do stuff that they can do. But it's interesting how God can use a tragedy to bring people to himself. And I thought this was a perfect picture of where the hope is found in the Lord's, in his words. There's no other place, no other thing that can provide comfort to those who have lost a lot. So many people have lost loved ones. Some have lost their jobs and homes in one day. Their lives is upside down. But there's hope, hope in the Lord. And so we were truly privileged to be there. You know, Jesus said in Mark, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And it is his example of service that we follow. And I'm so grateful for everyone on this team that they decided to serve. And they served and they gave their life away that week, truly for others. And one of the things we kept hearing from the church there is that, wow, you already did that? Oh, you did that? Wow, we did not expect you to complete this. Because everyone was giving everything. Truly. I mean, ladies did a remarkable job. Mike and I had an easy job. We just lifted our feet up in the air and commanded everything. No, it was wonderful. Everybody did great. And we're grateful for all of you for praying for us. We felt those prayers. Lord was truly, from the beginning to the end with us, we experienced a lot of great blessings. People have shared that through the photos. But every aspect of this trip was covered in prayer. And it was evident. Because Lord wanted us there. So, again, I'm going to repeat what others said. We'll have other opportunities, even this year, to go to different mission trips. The Lord may want you there. Don't be afraid to step out in faith and say, I'll go. You may think, I don't have finances. Hey, make a step of faith. See what will happen. The worst that can happen is no. But the best is you get to be part of it. So that's my encouragement. We have mission trips coming up next month, short-term mission trips to Canada, to Cranbrook, B.C., and Castlelaw, B.C., they're only for over the weekend, Friday through Sunday. If you're interested, come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we could be part of what you're doing there in Maui. Lord, we had truly a privilege to just take a small part of what you are already doing there, and that you're already reaching those who have lost so much. Lord, we're grateful that they were not forgotten, that from the get-go, Lord, they could see and sense that you are with them, even in the midst of great loss. And that's a great encouragement for us to know that no matter what we're going through, you are with us. You don't leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, as Jamie mentioned, the body of Christ is there. Lord, we're grateful for this body that we have here, that is here for us, what we're going through, and also to encourage us to go and step out in faith and go to other parts of the country or the world to share the gospel, to be your hands and feet. So, Lord, we lift up all those that have lost greatly in the fires. We pray they will continue to seek you and find comfort in you. For those who are not seeking you and are dealing with great loss and trauma, Lord, we do pray that they will surrender to you and find comfort in you, because there's no other comfort. And Lord, we pray that for those of us who you are calling to step out in faith in one of the next mission trips, Lord, that we will listen and just follow your example. We're so grateful that you lead us and you provide for us. So again, thank you for this group that we got to go, that we were blessed with fellowship with one another, fellowship with the body there, and with the service that we got to do. Thank you for impacting our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.